Queen, for bringing in our show. You are tuned in to Bike Sport Radio. Your host here is Robert, and hi, hope all is well. It's been a little crazy time here, trying to get in here, get the show done, but we're almost done. We're almost to the holidays. Man, time flies when you're having fun. Weather's been good in SoCal for riding, so I've actually been riding. Hey, what do you know? Cleared up of all my restrictions, and now we're getting out there and trying to put some miles in and see how it goes. You know, I mean, it's hard, you know, it's hard to sit there and watch everybody else do their thing and you're sitting there going, I want to be on my bike, I want to ride my bicycle, just the way Queen says in that song. So hope all is well. Just off the bat to a couple of downed riders recently, I wish you guys speedy recoveries. Be careful out there, everybody. It's getting worse. I hate to say and I hate to be the naysayer, but it's definitely getting a little more dangerous. So make sure you're being careful and being defensive. I mean, really, ride defensively. Keep your eyes open, but at the same time, you know, as I've said in the past too, you guys, we gotta, you know, remember, we don't own the road, we're sharing the road, so let's make sure we share it properly, and let's be smart about it. You know, yes, we know that we have laws in our favor, but at the same time, you know, follow the rules, stop the signs, and try to stay right when you can, as safe as possible, and, you know, let the cars go. I mean, does us no good to frustrate and anger them by holding up it up. And I know people will argue and say, hey, we have the right to be there. You're right, we do have a right to be there. We also have a right to not be jerks and a-holes about it. So, you know, just be careful, everybody. I want to have plenty of listeners. So, anyways, so to everybody who's down, anybody who's been hurt, prayers and hope for speedy recoveries, just watch out, you know, be it car or be it yourself being dumb on a bike. We want to see you for the new year. So with that being said, let's get started with our show. We've been trying to finish off our Interbike show, so I'm actually going to run in day two's audio recordings, and towards the end of the show, I'm actually going to talk about some of the things that I've been testing during this time, and I've actually been playing with a lot of really cool things that came out of Interbike, and I'm going to get those ready for a holiday show as the plan. But in the meanwhile, I got to tell you, it's been a blast. I've actually really been enjoying not racing, which has been really odd. Literally, racing's been my life for so long. And it's actually been really cool not to be racing. So I've actually been doing a lot of like fun rides and just getting out and doing these events and stuff like that. And it's been really cool. I mean, just get out and really enjoy the ride and see what you've been missing. You know, as you're speeding through stuff, trying to, you know, do your best and get your workout. And it's nice to sit back and enjoy the scenery. And that's what I've been doing. And this last past weekend, I did that exact same thing. Went out and rode the Tour of the Foothills, and I'd always been wanting to ride that, but it always coincided with an event. But I actually went out and rode it, and let me tell you, that is a brutally fun event. I love that it supports charity, and it's just a great event, well marked, technical. I mean, not technical, but pretty tough, challenging course. The sick masochists as they were, you're coming in at 50 miles, you got 15 to go, and what do? They throw in two nasty little hills at you. Yeah, it made you work. Anyway, so for fun events, I think that was pretty much like it for the road. However, got a couple last, we're getting to the end of the year, so, you know, cycling doesn't really end here, but it sort of does too. You know, we kind of take a little hiatus and the weather gets questionable, so, you know, it's actually been pretty darn cold in the mornings lately. I mean, we're in, I think I started a ride yesterday morning, it was like 49 degrees, so, and I think we're getting a warming trend though, and we have rain towards the end of the week here in LA, so it's hard to say. It's going to be an interesting, I think, winter. So I said that last time, too. And, well, it was interesting. So hopefully it either mellows out or, I don't know, just go full bore. But so what do we got coming up? Well, this week we've actually got two really fun events that in the dirt crowd. And I'm really sad I have to miss one because it's been a really great event. But the Ridgecrest Desert Classic is going off. And that is a mountain bike event up in the city of Ridgecrest, California. And it's a great course, high desert, nothing really brutally tough in climbs, but they're brutally tough in climbs, if that makes any sense. Because of the terrain, they're rolling hills, it's a fun course, lots of speed, lots of high-end speed, gradual inclines with a couple little punchy climbs here and there. And for the most part, just awesome area to go ride. As a dirt bike rider myself, I love just riding in that terrain. And mountain bike racer, I love racing in that terrain. I've got really good history there of winning my class several times in that race. I really love the area. It's me, but sadly, you know, other obligations are taking my place, so I'm going to miss it this year. Hopefully next year I'm there. But if you got nothing better to do on Saturday or Sunday, I always forget, 18th, so I believe it's Saturday. Yeah, Saturday, because I missed Saturday. Saturday in Ridgecrest, check it out, Ridgecrest Desert Classic, check it out on Facebook, you can find all information on registration and things like that. And single speeders, great single speed course, they're actually looking for more, so if we can get enough single speeders there, they'll open up an own individual class. Right now they usually run them together and combine them with the other classes, so if you get enough single speeders, they'll actually run their own individual class, so... good luck to everybody going out there this weekend. It's a fun event. I think you'll have a blast. It got a great raffle, great sponsors, great product out there, and go support it. It's definitely something fun to do. It will be chilly, just be warned. Chilly in the start, but it'll warm up nicely. You'll have a nice day out there, hopefully. So if you get a little bit of weather out there, that'd be awesome. Even make it more epic. So check and look at that. Then a little closer to home here in Moreno Valley, we've got, I believe it's 2 days of cyclocross at March Air Field Base. And this is really supported by the city there. So SoCal Cross is putting on the MoVal cyclocross race. And it's actually a really, really... fun event where the city is in there and they're actually building in permanent fixtures for cyclocross. So, you know, usually we have a bunch of, you know, man-made items that are temporary, but the city here is providing us with, or providing them, when I say us, because I work with them sometimes, but it's providing them with a permanent fixture. So it's going to be a really awesome event. And in the forecast, they say there's rain, slight chance of rain, so it would be just awesome if we were able to get some good rain. It would actually make some good cyclocross. So it's the MoVal, it's actually a UCI race, so you can be able to get some points for the series and be able to get some points to get good. If you're heading out to Nationals in Reno, you'll be able to get some good points for it, so you want to check that out. Excuse Excuse me, I had a frog in my throat. Anyway, so yeah, that's in Moreno Valley. And then the following week after Thanksgiving, we have the Turkey Trot. Infamous SoCal Cross Turkey Trot. It is probably by far one of the most fun cyclocross events you'll ever get to. Lots of fun, great events, great atmosphere, great park. It's here in the city of Glendale and Verdugo, and that's going to be on the 26th of November. So we're finishing off this year with everything here. Then December, got a couple of other events just in December, just to give you a heads up on them. CXLA at the Greek, hopefully that's going to take place. Getting back into the downtown LA at the Greek Theater, running a cyclocross race there. Bring your climbing legs. Then December 9th, down in the San Diego area, if you want to head down south, we got the Mazda Quicken Dirty 30. Try to say that fast. I'm going to have to read it so I can say it. Yeah, Quicken Dirty's been having a lot of fun down there. Really good events, really good area to race. So if you want to head on down there, you got a 30-miler to go do. And then December 9th, that same weekend, if you've been in cyclocross, that's the cyclocross championships. So, you know how it is, kind of trying to juggle a couple of different things at once. It's kind of tough, so pick your poison carefully. And then we have, wait, is that single speed? I believe that might be single speed. No, that's not. SCCX championships. On the 9th and 10th, and then on the December 16th and 17th, we have the finals for SoCal Cross. And then we go into what they call that Cross Fever, and we've got just a couple of events in January to kind of get you ready for Reno. All right, so you can find out more information on all that. Check out the calendar at SoCalCycling.com. And also, if you have an upcoming event, you're a promoter and you want to get it on the air, go ahead and email me or Facebook me at Bike Sport Radio Facebook page. Send me a message, post it up, let me know what you want to do, and I will grant you the permission to blast the waves, and we'll get you on the air as well. So you can then take that podcast and do what you need to do. By the way, the podcasts are online, and you can get this show and all the previous shows. You go for Radio for All and type in Bike Sport Radio, and they'll all pop up. You can hear how I've gotten better or I've gotten worse over the years. We haven't figured it out yet. I don't know. Some days I have my good days. Some days I have my bad days, right? So it's just how it is. I'm trying to think if I missed anything, but I don't think I have. All right. So let's get going, the nitty and the gritty here, and we're going to get into some of the shows. Some of the interviews from Interbike. So Interbike this year was, like I said, very interesting, and found a lot of off things that were just kind of unusual and different. So we're going to start off with, I can't tell you what happened at that one, so I'm going to have to be quiet. I'm going to have to let you guys wonder about it. But anyways, check out Facebook page tonight or after you hear the show or anytime you hear the show, and you will see the pictures of these items. You know, being that we're in the night and it's been dark lately, I'm going to go ahead and start off with my friends at AeroWear. And just before we can get into AeroWear, I have been using their products and I am just amazed at what a difference it makes in low light conditions. That aero, that whole concept really does help. Now, I'm not going to say it's like, you know, guaranteed 100% going to do what it's supposed to do. But I see subtle changes in drivers' patterns wearing their product. And it's so vibrant, and it's got the subliminal hinting to it that, you know, it's just going to go. It's just something that's there. And this, you know what? We got to be smart. We got to be wise. We need to be seen. And here's a great way to do it. So take a listen to our friends at AeroWear.
Here with my friends from AeroWear. You can tell it's getting late in the show for me. And I'm here with Kyle, who's the brains behind this. I want to say he's the brains behind it. He's part left, right. So one of the sides of the brain there. Anyways, have a good time. We're always having a good time at Interbike. And as you're aware, I've been wearing this jacket. It's a great high-vis jacket with just some awesome ideas behind it. We have the directional arrow giving you that kind of signal to, hey, move it over a little bit. Great fitting jacket. It's waterproof. I've tested that out on the road. And, you know, you think we'll stop here, right? But no, Kyle's come up with some other stuff that is taking it to the next level. They're one of the Innovation Awards winners for 2017 at Interbike, which is well-deserved. And Kyle, tell us more about the new jacket you got.
Well, first of all, thanks very much, Robert. Really, really appreciate the recognition. And we're really grateful that we are getting out there and people are starting to appreciate it past the consumer level as well. What we've come out with for this year is our AeroWear Plus line. We're basically upgrading our standard waterproof jacket and waterproof backpack cover and adding a new blue dark blue design that helps increase the daytime visibility of the Aero concept, giving that contrasting look of the blue against the yellow. And then we've added LED lights on the bottom, which we recommend to be in a solid configuration to help increase the aero visibility at night. So at nighttime, you look more like a road sign, and during the day, you're actually more apparent as a road sign as well.
Yeah, and that contrasting blue really draws more attention to the aero. So for daytime riding, even the reflective aero did the same thing, but this is definitely something that like, hey, look at me. Hey, it's an aero. Oh yeah, hey, I want to move that side. So it's really going to give the drivers some more cues. And then the LED is a great added, maybe one of those days you forget to charge your batteries or change your batteries on your bike one, at least you have a backup, so built into what you're wearing, which is, great idea. It's awesome to have button operated in the back, and you've got the three mode USB rechargeable. So it's and they fixed one of my little pet peeves. They added some more Velcro so you could actually close the sleeves for us skinny arm people.
Yes, we did. You weren't the only one having issues with that. We received a number of requests for increasing the Velcro on the sleeves, and what the customer wants, we got to help them be as comfortable in our product as possible. So we're not trying to make them safer, we're also trying to make it as easy to be safe and comfortable as possible.
And that's what's so cool about you guys and companies like you who actually listen to the riders and make the changes, because it's just, that it's going to be used and they're using it the right way they need to use it, and therefore let's go with them. So that's cool. You're just a really welcoming, we make suggestions to everybody, and sometimes it's like, yeah, you never see the change, you guys actually do it. So you also have a backpack cover as well, same thing as the design, and you've got two different sizes right now.
That's right. The backpack cover we have in a medium and a large size. The medium configuration is about a 28 liter day pack. The large size is good for 28 to 45 liter capacity. So, compared to your typical day packs, fully expanded out all the way up to a small hiking bag or something like that.
Awesome. And then a couple of little things. We're looking at the prototype jacket, but we don't have to go into that just yet. But it's basically, you're calling that a 3-in-1?
It was a 3-in-1 configuration that we were aiming to replace the removable sleeve concept with. We'll see how it goes. It's still a prototype concept that we're playing around with, but that was our initial thought. Was it hasn't been done in a while. We thought we'd try it again in the industry and just see what's what.
Can't go wrong with AeroWear. So no matter what you do, you're gonna do good. And then you have the new little light vest, right? Is that what we're calling it?
That's right. We had a lightweight Evo vest before. We called it an Evo vest. It was the Airstream. Breathable through and through, just something really light, small, comfortable you could throw on over anything. It was for the person that had everything else except for the AeroWear effect. And so they bought that, they put on all their expensive gear, and they felt a lot safer.
Okay, and then we were also talking about some other things too. You could use it as a running vest, it's lightweight enough, it attaches with Velcro. And even if you're a motorcycle rider and want a little more visibility, something you could throw over your leather jacket and have that as a nice day, vest that can be seen and high vis and be safe. It's all about being seen out on the road. So all my listeners want to know, hey, where can I go and order the stuff? Tell us where we can get it.
So right now, all our products are available online. depending on where the listeners are, if it's in the SoCal area or northern or around the country, our dealer base is growing. So you're definitely seeing us in more dealers and every day. So obviously just check up on our website, see where we're located, and just go have a look.
And give me that website.
It's arrowhere.com. That's ARROWHERE.com.
All right, there you go. Straight from the man himself. All right, Kyle, well, thanks for stopping. And then, actually, thanks for talking to us. It's time for me to go home, man. I think so. Anyways, thanks for having us by, telling us about everything. Keep up the good work, man. You guys, I can't wait to see what you come up with next.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. Appreciate it.
So, yeah, that was me at the end. They say you save the best for the last, right? Arrowwear was actually one of my last stops at the bike show, and I was done. I was so tired. I just had to get there. So anyways, what happened was I was actually getting ready to hit the road. I'd raced the night before. I was pretty wiped out. I had a bunch of interviews during the morning. It was getting in the afternoon there, and I just walked in there and was like, oh, I keep forgetting my buddies at Arrowwear. So I'd swing by, and they were so busy themselves that, I mean, they won that award, and it's deserving. It's such a great concept and such an awesome idea, and we definitely need to see more and more of it. So here's my take on it. I've been using all the items. I definitely like the new stuff they're doing. The new Arrow design stands out even more than the older one. Now, the older one is very just there. It's in your face. It's telling you to move. It's a great product. The second one now, however, is even better. It's more vibrant. It's telling you move. It's telling you, hey, look at me. And it's multi-use. So, like as I mentioned, they're running and backpack covers and things like that. Motorcyclists, we talked about that during the interview off the record there. We talked about how motorcyclists can actually wear that thing. It looks like a little safety vest that, and you can flip. It's large enough to fit over your leather jacket. So you don't need to go buy all new high-vis gear. You can actually wear this vest. And it brings attention, makes you visible. So running, cycling, backpacking. And here's the thing with the backpack covers. Think about this for a second. You could be up in the mountains and something happens and you need something high-vis, visibility. And this, you know, they tell you, wear something that can be seen. And these things, these jackets are so high-vis that, you know, you can use them as a signal. I mean, and the backpack covers are also, I believe, water repellent, water, I think they're actually waterproof, if I remember correctly. I can confirm that and I'll check. But I believe they were. And you can, it's a backpack cover, water cover, so rain cover. So there you go. You got multi-use cover. You got high vis, you got a signal, and lets people know, hey, here I am. Now, is too much high vis bad? No, it's not. If you battle the streets of LA or any metropolitan area where you are really looked upon as a second-class citizen, because most of us are when we're on a bike, we need what we can to fight against them. So it's a battle we're in. It's a war we're in. And I hate to even word it that way, but it truly is. We need to be seen. We need to be smart. And I'll say it, and I'll say it, and I'll say it again. You know, trying to be stealthy and, hey, I'm cool and whatever, and I don't need to have that, is silly. It's nonsense. We want you to be around. I want you to be around. Your family wants you to be around. Be smart, okay? So take a look at the Arrowwear line. They're very affordable. I will tell you the rain jacket, the full jacket, is awesome. It is waterproof. And it's a good cold weather jacket. You know, it's wind resistant as well, so, you know, put some layers underneath it, go out and ride, and have no worry. Also, their vests are just awesome, too. I really love their vests, and they do have an inconspicuous one. They don't only have the high-vis, you know, green, lime green, I call it. But they also have a black one with the built-in arrow that's a little more inconspicuous. So when light does hit the arrow, you can have a black vest on, and then when light hits the arrow, you can actually still see the arrow really vibrantly. So it's really cool. So take a look at that arrow wear. All right, up next is Ace Pack. And Ace Pack I found in the balls of Interbike. No, actually found them around the corner there. Interesting little place. So take a look and listen to the Ace Pack crew.
All right, so here I am, and I have stumbled across, you know me, I like to search through all the backsides of all these exhibits here at Interbike. And I stumbled across this really cool bike packing setup called the Ace Pack. It's made by a company called Ace Pack. And it's kind of an all-in-one. I'm here with Lucas, and he's going to kind of explain the idea behind it and what it is exactly. So go ahead, Lucas, tell us what it's about.
Hi, it's very easy. If you are going for a long travel and sometimes you need to travel part of your journey by plane or by train, it's necessary to put all your belongings with you. And we found a way how to all together fix it to the backpack. So you will have one bigger luggage and your bike can go separately without you, and you will have all necessary things with you. It's one option. Another option is if you are traveling up to the hills or some ridge, and you will find a nice long downhill, you can put all the bags on the backpack and go downhill and use the whole travel of your long travel bike and enjoy the downhill fully.
That's what we were just talking about. Yeah, you know, when you're bike packing and you find this nice long grade, but you got all your gear on your bike, it just doesn't make your bike as nimble as it could be. So this backpack attaches all your long tail bag that hangs off your seat, your long seat bag will stick out, you know, when it's on the bike. Then you have them going across the handlebars as well. Well, once you don't need them, you can take them off your bike, and they all tie together to this backpack, which also has a back protector built into it as well. And you can carry just like a hiking pack,
yeah.
Pretty much, basically. You carry all your gear with you together. And what was the capacity on them again?
Yeah, usually the backpacks itself is 15, 20, or 30 liters. And then we have a front row, which is 16 liter, saddlebag, which is also 60 liters. So we are around 50 liters of volume.
Okay, so yeah, you got, and this guy's straight from the Czech Republic, okay, so that explains the accent. I love getting the Europeans on here. Wait, are you European? Yeah, is that European?
Yeah.
Okay, see, I'm right. You never know. Okay, so really cool systems. You got a couple other little things, too. This looks like that's a sleeping bag?
Yeah, it's a small sleeping bag.
It's a summer sleeping bag. It's a little mummy bag, and I'm going to tell you, it's about the size of my hand cubed. Think of a big beer. That's exactly what it is. And they've got a couple of other little gadgets on here, too. This is also, what is this here?
This could be a tent, for example. This is the way how to attach also, for example, tent to the bar rail, so you don't have to put all inside the bag, and you can save a lot of space.
Okay, so it's a bag here that'll attach, and you can put all your single-man tent in there. Everything you need right here to enjoy a couple of days out in the backcountry, all here from out of civilization. Wait, where's the cell phone charger and the satellite TV?
I don't have. Not yet.
They're not working on it yet. So where can we get more information about your product line?
On our website, which is www.acepack.bike, or through our US distributor, which is Cyclone Bicycle Supply.
All right, very good. So Acepack, acepac.com. Take a look at it, or we can go through the local distributor, hit up your local shop, and say, hey, we want some Ace Pack in our shop. Thanks a lot, Lucas, for taking the time.
Okay, thanks a lot.
So, yeah, the Ace Pack was a really cool system. And what they did is, you know, bike packing is so big nowadays, but like I said, you know, you find this like, oh, I got to fly this downhill. But then you've got 20 or 30 pounds of weight all over the bike that can really ruin the ride in a way. It kind of throws you off balance and things like that. So all of these items would actually disconnect and then clip on and create a backpack that you could wear on your body, so you have a little more control and you can actually enjoy the ride a little better. It's still a lot of weight to carry, and you're not going to be, you know, kamikazing down this insane stuff, or maybe you are. I don't know. Maybe that's your way to do things. But the Ace Pack bike, it's got some really cool stuff. And that sleeping bag literally was the size of like a, what do they used to call those cans? Is like 24-ounce beer mini kegs or whatever. I mean, that thing was tiny. And I was like, that's a backpack? I was like, wow. So really cool stuff at Ace Pack. And then, yeah, you got to check that out. So another old-time friend of ours from the show, Sealskins, was there. And Sealskins also has some new stuff coming out. So, of course, we had some of the running jokes about the old stuff that, you know, when was it coming out? But yeah, they actually, it's out and ready to go. And here is some stuff about Sealskins. Hopefully it plays.
All right, so I'm here at Sealskins today. And I always try to make the annual stop because they always got something new every year. So I make sure I stop by here and see what's new. One of the first things I noticed, I'm here with Brendan from Sealskins, and one of the first things I saw on the table was a new pair of socks. I need you to tell me about those socks. They look really different.
So it's our super thin pro socks. They are the lightest option that we have had amongst our line. So they're 33% lighter and thinner than our current thin sock. We achieve that by using a bamboo liner as opposed to a merino wool liner in the rest of our sock line.
Okay.
Bamboo liner being thinner fiber by nature, but also a weave that allows us to achieve a 33% lighter, thinner sock.
Yeah, I'm a dirt bike rider and adventure rider, and that's one of the common ones is bamboo because it's thin and it's really absorbent and it's really keeps you cool. It's a really nice material to work with. Not too many people work with it though. And how did you guys get that to also be waterproof at the same time and so thin?
So we are actually using the exact same membrane that we use in the existing socks. So bamboo, besides being temperature control, all the good things that come with bamboo, also have the green story that goes along with the bamboo fiber as well. Just the thinner fiber by nature, it actually brings the membrane closer to the skin. So what we're really going after too is a vapor transfer rate that is higher than our current socks.
Okay.
So we're bringing that membrane closer to your skin, allowing it to do its job faster and move moisture out of the sock.
Awesome. Yeah, and that is a common issue with them is a lot of times with people wearing waterproof socks, they complain that, well, my feet are still wet after using them during the day. And I says, well, yeah, you're perspiring. And it's that transfer rate of getting that perspiration away from your skin.
Yeah.
And then you incorporate that with a shoe on top of that. And, you know, it's going to be hard to push that out. So it's really cool to use. I know bamboo's really good at getting it away from your skin. So awesome. Great
combination.
Another
added benefit to it, too, is we get a lot of road riders in a sock. A smaller road shoe or even an MTB, a shoe that's meant to fit a single layer sock. This allows us to, you know, get in there without having an extra bulk that's going to push it outside of the shoe's capacity.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the things that I had a slight issue with before was that, I've got a wet cross race. I want to keep my feet as dry just for the sake of staying warm, not freezing. And getting them into your cycling shoe is really tough sometimes.
Exactly, yeah.
And you actually start stretching them to the point where you almost start opening the seams, and that could potentially lead to leakage. So it's nice to see you guys doing the thin sock, and it's definitely a thing. And the other thing I noticed too is your MTB gloves are finally out there on the board.
That's right, yeah. So we're transferring, really bringing a spring-summer line across the board, so between socks and gloves. So we've come with the ultralight MTB Dragon Eye glove, which is a departure from our traditional pure waterproof story. We're going with a highly technical mesh on the back of the hand and a ventilated palm on the front side. So sweaty hands, you're still retaining grip. It's not a padded palm. It's all in the name of breathable, lightweight protection that is in the same kind of story and family as our legacy Dragon Eye gloves that we've had a lot of success with.
Yeah, and that's really cool because, you know, we don't always need such a bulky glove when it's 100 degrees out. We don't want to be wearing that. We want to actually be comfortable.
And I don't think it's ever comfortable in 100 degrees of riding. It doesn't matter. But it does definitely help. Nice styling on them, good color combinations. You got some high vis on them. It breaks it up, and they look really good. They definitely look comfortable.
We've really kind of built out, we've got a full kit across, a waterproof MTB glove, and now a lightweight, ultralight MTB glove and our socks. So we've got expanded color options that allows you to get your kit full all the way through in whatever color you prefer.
Awesome. So now where can we go and see all this wonderful new things you got from Sealskin? Because even some of the graphics, the cards, everything's a little different now. So it's kind of like I almost walked by and went, oh, wait, that's Sealskin. I didn't even recognize you guys.
Showing a lot of new product to a lot of new customers.
Yeah, definitely changing it up. So where can we go get all the info on Sealskin?
Sealskins.com, Sealskins with a Z. That's our most common mistake on the website. But we've got all the new product. The brand new stuff for spring 2018 is going to be showing up there January 1st, 2018. So look for some new stuff hitting the website and all the information right there.
All right. Well, Brandon, thanks for taking a few minutes and talking about a couple of the items online. Everybody else, check it out online. I'll have some pictures up as well. You can take a look on our Facebook page. And the pictures of the gloves, the socks, and everything will be there. And hopefully I can get a set of those to run this year. And put them through the paces. Everything else, Sealskins, has kept me dry, so I'm really happy so far. But I'm going to find the one day when I can make them leak. All right, thanks a lot. Take care. Have a good show.
So, yeah, our Sealskins, the new technology in the sock, and it's funny because they were, I always look at them as the leaders when it comes to weatherproof items, and that new sock, just phenomenal. It's so thin, looks just like a regular cycling sock, and it's definitely doing its job, keeping dry. So waiting for some good rains and some good puddle jumping, and we'll give those socks a run for their money soon. All right, talked a little bit about this, and we're going to go ahead and interview our good old friends at Turn. And if you saw the Facebook page around Interbike Show Time, there were some pictures of me riding this beast around. Anyways, let's hear what our friend at Turn have to say.
All right, so here I am with my good old friends from Turn Bikes. I'm here with Galen again. And we're going to talk about a different bike this time. We're used to hearing about all the folding bikes and the commuter-friendly and transport bikes. But you guys came out with something new this year. It's called the GSD, and tell us all about it.
Yeah, okay. So the GSD is our newest product for 2017. And effectively what it is, in short, is the utility of a full-size cargo bike condensed to the size of a standard city bike. So we figured to ourselves that, like, everybody who lives in cities, virtually everybody in the country, can benefit from owning a cargo bike. They let us, you know, take the kids to school, pick up a week's worth of groceries, really, like, go more places and go farther by bicycle, but only 5, maybe 10% of people actually have the space to safely house the average cargo bike. You need either a ground floor garage or a ground floor garage or a ground floor garage
or a very big two-car ground floor garage.
Yeah, or a very big two-car ground floor garage. And, you know, some people have access to that, but I think a lot of people, especially urbanites, don't really have that available space.
Yeah, the urban development nowadays, it's getting smaller. The places, the spaces are getting tighter, more people, more compact space, harder to carry big things around. So yeah, I definitely get it. So this bike here, I got a cheat. I rode it and I'm in love with it. I really enjoyed riding it. It was a good time. And here's the thing, you don't really feel the size of the bike.
No, you don't. Like, so the cool thing about, okay, so just to say super quick, it's an electric bike. So we built it sort of in conjunction with Bosch. Double battery, so range of up to 150 miles. And the awesome thing about designing electric bikes is that their performance is actually standardized.
That's all right.
Their performance is actually standardized regardless of things like your riding position, regardless of the sort of total weight of the bike or the wheel size.
Yeah. So when I was out at a demo day, we were out the demo day riding it, and I was at the first bike I rode after being in the car for 4.5 hours, and I just jumped on it and took off down the route, and there was a little bit of a headwind, and the winds were coming, a typical Vegas, and I was cruising down the hill going, you know what, damn, I'm going into a headwind.
I want to turn around. I have to go uphill to go back. And I'm just thinking, man, I don't feel like doing that right now.
Yeah.
But with the pedal assist, you just pick your mode and cruise along at the same speed. I mean, it's just minimal effort, makes it comfortable, makes you want to ride. And that's something that's kind of cool with the e-bikes that I've been putting my leg over lately is, and I've let other people ride them who not really big bike-friendly people or bike riders, and they're like, that's fun. And that's the big word, fun. Now, how can we, you know, take that a little step further as, hey, I got to go to the grocery store now. Yeah. I got to bring groceries back. Let's make it fun, not where I have to get in the car, fight traffic, find parking, and things like that. So definitely I can see how this is just an awesome tool to get around.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think part of the main reason people shift to, like, bike-centric lifestyle is because driving in cities is a total nightmare, right? Like, a bike lets you cut through traffic, a bike lets you be out in the air, and that's why, like, a city bike that does all this extra cargo stuff just really fits the world, you know?
It really does. It definitely goes with the whole concept of turn in general, of getting people on bikes, getting people out of cars, and this is another great tool, and this is a solidly built bike. Hydraulic disc brakes front and rear, dual batteries, as he said, so your range is multiplied depending on what mode you're in. Good sturdy, what are they, Supermoto X tires?
Yeah,
that
so on that point, we got, so Supermoto X is the gold standard for e-bike tires. We're good friends with Schwalbe. We've been working with them for like 15 years or something like that in different ways.
Only 15 years.
And yeah, essentially, like, We worked them and kind of persuaded them a little bit to do their premier gold standard e-bike tire in a 20-inch configuration just for this project. So it's going to be available widely, and I think next year you might see it on other bikes, but this year it's the only bike you're going to see it on.
And that's a really bulletproof tire. It's got reflective side. I mean, this is a purpose-built bike that's not going to let you down, and that's awesome. Now, everybody always wants to know, you know what the next question is, how much lighter is our wallet going to be, and when can we get our hands on them?
Okay, so for the base configuration, which still has the world's best hydraulic disc brakes, the world's gold standard of e-bike tire, through-axle hubs, and all the utility I've been describing, with a single battery and around 70 miles of range, the price of that is $4,000. And then for the dual battery configuration, which has a range of up to 150 miles, you're going to add $800 on top of that, so $4,800.
Doesn't he sound like a marketing guy? He totally does.
Nonsense. I'm not. I'm a bike enthusiast. So.
He really is. These are some of the most fun guys to hang out with whenever you get a chance. So, like I said, it's a really great bike. And then when are these going to be out? What are we looking at?
So these are just, we're wrapping up the kind of like pre-production right now, and they're going to be available on shop floors at the beginning of 2018.
Awesome. So no Kickstarter on this one, right?
No Kickstarter on this one. We think, like, it's just, it markets itself. So.
Yeah, and actually the reality is once you get a chance to ride one, any of them actually, I can tell you, I've had more fun riding your line of bikes. And it's the key word is it brings fun. It makes you want to go out and ride. And once you, I think you put your leg over one of these, turn it on and go, I think you'll realize that, yeah, this is the best money ever spent. So, Galen, thanks for all that information. And we can see all your wonderful bikes at what website?
www.turnbicycles.com, and that's T-E-R-N, like the Arctic Turn.
The Arctic Turn. All right, Galen, thanks for your time,
okay,
man. We'll see you soon.
Thank you very much.
So, yeah, the Turn bikes, this thing was just so much fun. It really was a lot of fun to ride, and I've really enjoyed the Turn line of bikes. So very well built, solidly built bikes, and you know, I would totally for the money, I would invest in one of these guys to just run around and run errands, because you can carry everything you need on the bike. I mean, and it's got the room, it's got the storage. And, you know, there's other devices we found over there at Interbike. You know, Burley makes a little add-on trailer. And then they have a couple of other things that you can add and even increase your capacity. But the key to this bike is, number one, it doesn't ride like this huge long cargo bike. It rides just like a regular city bike. It turns really sharp. It's agile. You're not dragging, you know, 4 extra feet of bike behind you, and you're not, you know, you don't feel that. So it's just a fun riding bike. And then with that motor, with the e-assist, pedal assist motor, it's smooth. I mean, it really, you can easily ride a few miles and not build a sweat, carry a bunch of weight, not build a sweat. So the GSD from Turn, and like I said, Galen is such a great speaker there that every time I show up, nobody wants to talk to, like, no, let Galen do it. And he's such an awesome sport. Good guy. The entire Turn crew is just amazing people. So if you're looking at a folding bike, if you're looking at this cargo bike, whatever bike you're looking at, give them a shot for sure. Turn is definitely an amazing company, amazing group of guys, very hospitable, welcoming, and they make you feel like family. So join the Turn family for sure. You can also go on their Facebook page, and they have actually a Turn Riders Facebook page, so you should check that out as well. And this is from people all over the world riding their Turn bikes. Okay, so we're going to go on to another thing here that I found that I thought was really cool. And it's going to go into another way of helping people ride, actually helping kids get out there and enjoy the riding. So take a listen to the Tow Wee. And I might have played this already, but it's such a cool idea. So take a listen.
Okay, here I am, day two, my final day at Interbike. It's been long, tiring, but you know, I always miss the center aisle for some reason, as I don't come in this way anyway. But I found a really cool thing here called the Tow Wee, and I said it right. Yeah. She's laughing. And I'm with Sarah, and she's, I guess, one of the founders, creators, as they say, mothers the necessity of invention. And they definitely have something that's really great, especially if you have a young kids and you want to get them out riding, but your terrain is challenging. This is a really cool way to do it. I'm going to let Sarah tell me more about it.
Sure, the Tow Wee, as you said, is designed, we call it an adventure bike bungee, but basically it allows you to help your kids uphill to go on bigger adventures and bigger rides and stick together so that everybody's having fun. And we've spent quite a few years perfecting the length and the weight of the bungee. It's protected by webbing that allows
protects it from the abrasion.
Absolutely.
And keeps it all intact, so you don't have loose bungee all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. It actually looks like a bungee cord that you would take a leap off of a building with, right?
Absolutely. In fact, the webbing has a 1500 pound weight rating, so I wouldn't ever want you to do that, but if you fell, it wouldn't break.
I'm not going to go tow my car, let's put it that way. But no, it's a really cool idea, because now as kids, they don't want to be strapped into a trailer bike or a trailer. If they can ride and you want to build skills, but they're just too, you know, if your terrain is challenging even for you, your little one's not going to want to go, and you're going to turn them off. So this I definitely see as a great tool to get the kids out, the family out, even weaker riders, because they don't only have a kids version, but they also have an adult version as well. And not only bikes, but what else can you use this for?
We use it for skiing as well. And it's funny, almost everyone that has stopped by has a new idea of how it can be used. Even sledding, you know, just lots of ways to get kids up things. So we have different accessories that allow you to pull a child behind you while cross-country skiing. We also have use it in the reverse direction for if you're teaching someone to ski, like a little kid, it will hold them back, but still allow them a little bit of freedom to make some, you know, turns or to try skiing without getting out of control. And we actually make a dog leash version as well, which isn't a new idea, but we like that we can make, you know, a full package of opportunities for people.
Yeah, and it's really cool because it compacts down to probably about 4 feet, maybe 5 feet total.
Yeah, it's a little less than 5 feet, and then it stretches out to 15 feet at its max. And what's great about it is even at its full extension, if you hit something jarring, it still has some give. So you never have that like solid pull that really is violent for the end rider. It always feels very smooth between the two of you, and it's really comfortable for both the lead rider and the following rider.
Yeah, and as I was pulling it around, it's not snappy back. It's just got a real subtle tension, pull, and push on it. So really cool item. Very affordable as well. I think you said a $39.99 retail price for it. Dealers, you might want to look at this, especially for your younger, you know, if you deal with a lot of families and things like that, you definitely want to get this in your store. If I wanted to go online and order them right now, where would we go to do that?
You would go to towhee.com, and it's spelled T-O-W-W-H-E-E, like towhee.com. And, yeah, we sell them all over the world. We ship them. We have sent them to Romania and, I mean, places that I didn't know people mountain biked even. So it's been kind of interesting.
Well, you know what's funny is we were talking about where did this come from, and she's like, well, we just made it for ourselves to get the kids up the hill. And we made a video, and that's how strong media is nowadays, especially social media, YouTube and Facebook and everything, is that you can really launch yourself without even knowing it. Mm-hmm. Something you made for yourself, all of a sudden it was like, hey, can you make me one too? I know that from experience as well, and it's just amazing what you find out here. So I'm happy to see you at the show. I wish you guys a lot of luck with this. I can't wait to grab one and get my kid on it, so we'll definitely work on that. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
So let me tell you about this towhee. It's amazing. It's so cool to actually pull your kid along and know that you're helping them, and you're getting a little bit of a workout as well. But the child's able to just ride their bike and gives them that little effort, gives them a little tug to help them up through those little steep climbs. So by far, it's just I'm finding more and more uses for it. But yeah, it's definitely an inexpensive way. You don't have to add a trailer bike to your collection. And one thing I do recommend getting with it is the quick release clip, because what it does is it gives you a strap that you can quick release like it off the handlebars of your child. So when you get to a downhill, they can just take off. And then you wrap the rest of it around your body. Like I take it and I wrap it around, make like a little harness around me. Fits perfectly, stays in place. And then when you're ready to hook up again, you just kind of bring the kid up, boom, hook it up, and then off you go and you ride. So take a look at that towhee. Now, we're going to change gears quite a bit here, and we're going to go into probably one of the originator of the bike fit. And this is an interview with Paul Swift. He's the founder of BikeFit, and we're going to go into a whole bunch of different things here. And one of the things is really, where has this all going? Where has this whole idea of fitting a bike and redesigning the bike to the body, the ergonomics, bringing that into play? And a very knowledgeable guy, and very funny too. So it you guys think I can talk. Nothing Paul can put me to shame. But he's a great guy, and here's our interview with Paul Swift from BikeFit.
All right, here we go. One of the things we've talked about in the past and on the show is getting your bike properly fit. And we always say we recommend going to a professional, of course. I think we've got one of the main professionals in the bike fit industry here. At least that's what everybody says. His name keeps coming up. I personally don't know if it's true, but I'm going to have to go with what, you know, the reputation. Paul Swift from Bike Fit is sitting here with me. Finally, it's been a couple years. We've been trying to get together, and always, like, this guy's buried with people, like, 10 deep, and you got to, like, throw your bra at him so he can even look in your direction. So I'm definitely not qualified for that. But anyways, he's got some really cool new gadgets here, and BikeFit in general, I mean, is just cutting edge, right?
Well, Robert, thank you very much. It's a pleasure. I've been wanting to do this for a while. I'm a big fan of your show, and so thanks for coming by. It's, you know, the booth being busy was certainly previous years. It really was that way. I hate to say it's maybe not this way, so I was glad I was that busy. No, BikeFit is it's becoming the thing to help the industry in a lot of ways. from the retail standpoint of view. It's our connection with the customers. It keeps us, you know, you can't get this online. And it's also what makes us feel better on a bike, perform better on a bike, and all those things. So, and the products are getting so much more comfortable than we were when we were little kids.
Yeah, and a part of that is due to all this, of taking this data, because in reality, every time you put a rider on a bike and you adjust the bike to that rider, the companies actually sit and listen to this and they say, hey, these people are constantly having to change their stems, you know, this certain body style and so on. So this is really, like you said, it does guide the industry in a way.
Well, I think you hit a couple topics there. I think one, the bike fitter in the industry really is becoming a focal point. Like if I was a company designing products, I'd probably go talk to the bike fitters who are one-on-one, face-to-face with the people, adjusting and fitting them. On the other front, it's the face then that turns to the public, and the public gets to go to them as being an expert to recommend this equipment, and there's no doubt we've influenced the industry quite a bit now. For example, I built some pedals years ago that are adjustable width, and you could go a little wide, a little narrower. Well, today, you can buy a pair of Speedplay pedals in different widths, and since Speedplay came out with it, so have a couple other companies as well. Not just that it's a cool product, but people are more comfortable and they're happier with it, and it makes so much sense. And they've done that in other, you know, other product categories on the bike too.
Yeah, and I've recently had a really good, I've been having issues with a couple of my bikes and the way I ride and I fit on the bike, and luckily went to a good old friend of mine who's been trained with you and has trained you, I believe, or I'm not sure how that works. He told me different stories, but whatever the case, after that fit was done, it was a phenomenal improvement in my performance and more importantly my comfort on the bike, and it was just from this whole experience, and I'm sold on it. It's any new bike I get, my second stop besides, you know, flinging it out, is going to go get fit on it before I even ride it.
So this was just riding along, perhaps, was that what it was?
Maybe.
I tell you, he's good.
Yeah.
He is one of my favorite students. He brought in a ton of knowledge before he came in and did our system. And again, you hit on a couple more topics, Robert. You know, it's becoming, we get a new bike, and now we want to get a new bike fit, or we need a fit with the new bike. Whereas when I first started this, nobody got a bike fit unless they were in pain. Everybody already rode a bike, who was riding a bike, they rode the bike, and unless it was so bad. And today, it's evolved. I wouldn't say it's evolved a ton, but there are people who, just like you, I'm getting a new bike, I need a bike fit. That did not exist years ago. Or people like, you know, it's been a while, I should get a touch-up. Or only if you're in excruciating pain did you get a bike fit. No, people still do that if they're in pain, they come. But it's great that we've progressed now. I think like maybe the ski boot industry's been pretty good at that.
Yeah.
You get a new ski boots, people are like, I gotta get them fit. Like, but the bikes took a while to kind of get in that category. I got a new bike, I gotta get a fit. Yes, you do.
I actually want to say, I'm guilty of that because I've been riding for so long that you're in old habits, and we develop them. Like, oh, I know that this is where I'm going to sit, this is how I'm going to ride, but then you notice that you're not making any improvements in your abilities and your skill set and your fitness is just kind of plateauing. And I literally went from mid-pack to top of the pack after one fit session, and it showed me to put me in a more efficient position, but more importantly, I was more comfortable on the bike. I just felt like the bike and I were now one.
Well, I think some people forget this aspect of bike fitting in the sense of it's more comfortable, but you know, when you are fit properly too, you actually handle your bike better, you control your bike better, so that scenario, what you explained, really makes sense. But as far as being guilty, we were all guilty of this for a long time, of just getting on a bike and going and accepting it. And God, we've changed in a lot of ways from just, I wish I could go back and change every saddle from the 80s and 90s, you know, the saddles have improved so much. But you know what, we rode them, we thought they were cool, and we were young and tough, but that's
key word there, young and tough. Now we're all getting gray and old.
And so, and thank God the equipment is more comfortable, because I've been lucky enough, I saved one or two of my old bikes, and I took one out the other day, and the top of the handlebars on my road bike were below the drops on my handlebars of my road bike today. And I'm just looking at it, scratching my head, going, I used to do that, and I thought it was comfortable.
Yeah.
No, we didn't have any. I believe, though, if back then, if we'd had the choices we now, we'd have realized it wasn't, but that's all we had.
Yeah.
And so we were all guilty of it. We've come a long way from not just the bike fitting side, but the product side, the industry. It's been a group sort of contribution. I do think we've pushed and influenced it a lot. That's just helped.
No, I really do. And it has in general. And now here today, I'm looking, he's got a bike here. He's got two new gadgets on it to definitely make adjustments so much easier and quicker. So tell me a little more about them.
Well, you know, at BikeFit, we were one of the first companies that really focused on where you touch the bike. Because a bicycle is kind of like it's a bicycle, and people look at it like they see maybe a frame and wheels. But the reality is, what is a bike and makes you comfortable is it's kind of actually intimate a little bit too. It's your feet, it's your pelvis and your hands. Those are some very intimate parts of your body. That's what touches the bike. And so we took a focus on that. And it's not that we made new products per se, our company, but we've helped you find and identify the better products. So on the saddle, we came out with a project originally called the Switch and now called the Saddle Changer. And it allows you to go into a shop, try a saddle, and they can flip a switch, take that saddle off literally in 1 to 2 seconds, put a new saddle on it, another 1 to 2 seconds, and sit down and try it. There is no other way. I mean, this is just, how many years have we been at this? The idea was like, nobody else did this before. I mean, we would walk into a bike shop, stick our thumb in the saddle, and go, this is what our butt's gonna like for the next 3 hours. And I'm just telling people, I like my thumb, but it does not know what my butt likes. Or think about it, if you go and buy a chair that you sit on your house, I said, you know what, I went to this new chair store the other day. All the chairs are on the wall, and you stuck your thumb in it, and you go, this is the one I'm gonna take home. No way, we would in our wildest dreams.
What do? You put your butt in it.
You sit on the chair and you fall asleep if it's good, you know, and then you bring that one home. But we don't do that on a bike. So that's just one area. And of course, we did that with handlebars, and we have an adjustable length stem and angles so that we can adjust in all these different positions so you feel comfortable. And then you go put the proper stem on. Same thing with the feet. We make sure that the foot is connected right, all the adjustments are right. We have some widgets and patents and things on wedges to make sure that it meets just right. And we focus on those things. And it dawned on me a while ago that when sort of BikeFit was kind of evolving, there were companies going, oh, this is BikeFit. And I was like, well, it was focused on building the frame. And then it dawned on me too, it's like, of course it's focused on the frame and selling the frame, because that's what they do. Bike companies sell bikes. But I didn't sell bikes, I sold cycling. And I think I was fortunate, even though I was living on a couch, no hot water, no heater, off of Riverside Drive, right across from Griffith Park.
You don't need hot water.
But not in LA, right? Those are still cold showers. But I sold cycling, and I think I was really lucky that I was, hey, they already have that bike. I need to make it comfortable now. And I think it drove, certainly building the company BikeFit, and it drove the industry in a lot to change and make a lot of these parts and accessories more comfortable. And that focus changed a little bit. Of course, the bike's important. Of course, the bike, you want it to be beautiful, it has to be close to the right size, but it's these components and accessories where we touch it that really that's the part that's changed the most. And that's why I think BikeFit survived that and has become, it doesn't matter if you ride a pink bike or a purple bike, or I could say or a Specialized, a Trek, or a Calnago. What matters is, do you fit them comfortably with the contact points?
That makes sense, total sense. I'm going to have to talk to you off air, because I've got a constant foot issue I can't get rid of. I'm going to see if you got a solution for that. Anyways, where can we go find all this wonderful knowledge and information on all the products you guys have for BikeFit?
Well, there's two sides to it. You know, we have the consumer. You can go to BikeFit.com. But really what we're trying to do is there's a locator to go and find an expert near you. You know, Just Riding Along is one of them. On the education side for in the industry, it's thecyclepoint.com. The education that we developed so that we can get some more of the bicycle fit professionals out there to service you. We're a little underserviced yet. There are more people that need help than are our fitters, but we're trying to make that grow. So we're trying to hit it on both sides. The consumer, bikefit.com, for this, you know, the person that wants to get into bike fitting, which is now coaches and other things, because there are less in the shops, thecyclepoint.com.
All right, awesome. Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, a person who knows basics of fitting, at least the basics of fitting, can sell a bike to a person, and that person's more likely going to fit it
semi, you know, closely enough that they would actually go out and ride it. Because that's half the problem. That's half the reason why people buy a bike. They like the color. They ride it for a few minutes.
Yeah.
They think it's comfy. They go on a long ride. They hate it. They hang it. And that's where you find all these great yard sale specials. Anyways.
You know, and we're cycling fans, man. We just want to see people, more people riding bikes. And I don't know, I just hate seeing that. You know, I mean, I'm sure it's great that they're going by another bike, but to me, it's like every bike ride on the road is another more informed person. That's another health and wellness. It's better. I mean, there's so many benefits I can go on. I don't want to bore you, but you know, we want people riding.
Yeah,
bikes.
We're limited to a 1 hour show, and I don't want yours to be the whole 1 hour.
Okay.
Anyways, Paul, thanks for all that info. It's been great talking to you and finally catching up with you.
Well, Robert, it's been my pleasure, man. Good luck with the show. Keep up the good work. Telling people all about bikes and the bike industry. And hey, go out there and get a bike fit.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Take care.
So yeah, Paul Swift was a very fun individual. I was totally going on with my stuff here. Paul, we had a great time talking. It took a while for me to actually catch up with Paul. As I mentioned during the interview, usually he's got just 20 people deep. I mean, just of people everywhere trying to get to him, and everyone's talking and catching up to the newest thing because it's been a big thing. Bike fitting in general is a new thing, and a lot of shops are really investing tons of money into the programming, the education, and the tools required to do it, because these now are not $200-$300 investments. We're talking, you know, thousands of dollars of money being invested into these things. And, you know, you want to make sure that you actually have something that you're going to thoroughly enjoy. And that's, you know, it's kind of tough to, you know, it's kind of tough to do that. I mean, you want to make sure that this is something that you really will continue to do. And like I said, not hang in the garage and collect dust, which is what a majority of bicycles do. People get into them for one thing or another. They invest in it and then they walk away. So, it's a very enlightening interview with Paul, and I'm going to end the show with that because he was just an amazing, amazing speaker, and his knowledge in the field and his experience has been great. So it's always good to end on that high note like that. So we're going to have another show in before the holiday show, and we're going to get a show in before Thanksgiving. So definitely take a listen. We've got a few more interviews from Interbike we're going to end with. In the next coming week, so we're gonna play these guys, get these out there. You can have everything from Interbike done. We have some more reviews coming in. I've got to touch base on something real quick. Tailwind Nutrition, take a look at them, sneak peek, do your homework, research it a little bit, because I've got to tell you about it on our next show. But for now, it looks like I am going to say goodbye, and we're going to end our show here. So thanks for tuning in and listening to Bike Sport Radio. This is Robert, your host. And until next time, pedal safe and enjoy the ride.